I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice. But there are people around us who don't always do what is right. And so how do you know who to trust? You know, there are people who claim to be Christians, but we know people can and they do lie. In fact, for that matter, how do I know if I'm as good as I claim to be? Well, it should be obvious I need to examine things. I need to look at the evidence. But it's so easy just to let things kind of slide. After all, that takes work. That takes effort. And we come to just accept things as they are because it takes less effort to do so. And besides, who wants the drama in their life? Over in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about the fact that we want to live as God desires us to live. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We need to imitate our Father. We need to imitate our Lord and our Savior. Well, if I'm going to do that, that means then I need to be like my Lord and stay out of sin. And so he says in verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. It shouldn't be associated with us. But that also then means that in even my speech and the things that I talk to other people about, I can't be talking as if those sins are acceptable, even if I'm just joking. And so in verse 4, he says, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. And it's something that we can't just let slide. We can't ignore it. Verse 5, he says, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. This is important. People are going to lose their eternal lives over this. And so we have to be different from the rest of the world. In verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Which then means that we need to prove, we need to make a decision about what pleases the Lord. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. To try to learn, try to prove what is acceptable to Christ. What does he want? We can't get caught up in sin. We can't even talk about it as if we approve of it in some way. We need to be different people. In our scripture reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 21 again. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Everything that we do, we need to examine. Everything that we teach, we need to examine. Because it's way too easy just to assume, well, that's what we've always done. That's just the way I do things, and of course that's all right. Take a look at Psalms 19. David makes an interesting prayer in Psalms 19 and in verse 12. It says, who can discern his errors? That's a good question. How many people can actually know when they're wrong? And so he says, acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. It's a prayer to ask God, keep me from making the assumptions that I'm right. Thinking in advance that, hey, this, of course this is all right. Everybody else does it, why not me? What's wrong with it? We need to hang on to what is good and learn to reject or to hate the evil. Oh, well, that means then I got to take a stance. I got to make a decision and stand up for what is right and stand against what is evil. Well, that means I'm going to have to watch people browbeat me and be kind of mad at me. Think about this world right now. How many people really like people taking contrary stances? You can get kicked off of Facebook that way. We got a culture that they even got a word for it. They call it cancel culture. But I have to learn to take a stance for what is good and a stance against what is evil. Or another way to look at it, in order for me to mature as a Christian, I'm going to have to learn how to distinguish between what's right and wrong. Over in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And in verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Well, how do I learn to distinguish between what's right and wrong? I have to put it into practice. I have to look at what God actually says and make it a part of my life. I got to actually do it. I got to actually live it. It has to become a part of my daily practice. And so when we look at the evidence, we need to consider what evidence we're actually examining. Because it's not just what people say. Because we already noted, people tell lies. It doesn't really tell us about what the person believes, whether it's right or wrong, necessarily. Not by itself. It's one piece of evidence, but not enough. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, John tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This world is full of teachers who teach false doctrine. Tons of them. What do I need to do? I need to put them on to the test. I need to examine what they're teaching. Now, those who follow God are not going to be bothered by this. Take a look at, for instance, in Acts 17. Paul comes teaching in the towns around, and in Acts 17 and in verse 10, it says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they were arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And there were many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. What happened in Berea? Paul came into the Jewish synagogues, teaching a doctrine different from what Judaism teaches. These people didn't just outright reject him because it was different. Rather, they examined it against what the scriptures actually said. And that's why they eagerly accepted it. Did that bother Paul? I think he was thrilled with the very thing. That's why Luke calls them more noble-minded. It was something that they liked people to do. I've noticed a lot of false teachers out in the world really don't want you to look at what they're saying or doing. Don't put them on the examination table. Just accept what they say. But this is not the way it was in the first century. Those who are teaching the truth have nothing to hide. What also we need to look at is to look at what they accomplish. Take a look at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 and starting at verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And by fruits, he's talking about what happens. What's the result? What ends up happening because of their teachings? How do they live their lives? I have so many people that claim to be Christians, and they write to me, and then they go on to say that they're involved in all sorts of things that are just contrary to the scriptures. They're not teaching the truth. Just had one just yesterday. I was talking to somebody. She was upset her parents got off into some a false doctrine. And she said because of it, the logical consequence, they think they're saved no matter what they do. And so they're involved in, they're getting drunk, they're get lying and everything else. And she, these are the people that taught me to be a Christian. I said, well, look at what the result is. Look at the fruit. You know this is contrary to what God says. That doctrine can't be true without even addressing it. We already know there has to be a problem with it because the consequences of it are wrong. But we also need to understand that we're not just looking at other people. We need to look at ourselves as well. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Or sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail this test. Put yourself under the microscope too. Take a look. What's happening because of my life? Am I actually following Christ? Am I actually upholding what the gospel teaches? Because of what I'm doing, do other people improve? My life improving? Is what I'm teaching matching with what is found in the scriptures? We have to think about those things. Because, you know, it's possible to even lie to yourself. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. You got to examine your own work. You got to look to see if what are you accomplishing? Am I being the servant of Christ like I should be? But then we got to also understand what we need to use as a standard. How do we judge whether something right is right or wrong? Because Paul warns us we can't use ourselves as a standard. After all, I might be off track. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about some of the false teachers that were bothering Corinth. And he says, we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. When you use yourself as the standard, you're not going to find out whether you're right or not. And we certainly can't use the world because it's full of corruption. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is praised by no one. How do I know what is right? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? I have to use the standard Christ gave me. I have to look things in a spiritual sense, not from a physical sense, not from a worldly sense, but from a sense of what God wants. And God's told us what he wants. He gave us his word. Going back to that Psalms 19. Psalms 19, take a look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. God's word can improve us. He concludes in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. How do I figure out whether I'm right or not? I start living by what God has said. And I change. And I improve. Because God's word distinguishes between right and wrong. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of the Lord, or word of God, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word can not only tell you what actions are right or wrong, it can tell you whether your motives are right or wrong. It distinguishes your attitudes. How do I examine myself? Compare myself to what God says. Learn God's word. You know, if you're going to learn a subject, you're going to do best at a subject you're interested in. You know, a car buff knows all sorts of details about what makes a good and a poor automobile. Me, I know there's a car, and you put a key in and it goes vroom. But there's, you know, some people got really, they really are into it. A sports buff knows all sorts of details about what makes someone or some team a really good team. Who is really good or bad at their sport. We have to be a people that loves God's word. And we're almost maybe a fanatic of it. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the aged, because I observe your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. How sweet your words are to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I have to be really into what God has said. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, and you need help from your brethren, we offer an opportunity as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Selection.